microphone.
Lord, we are truly thankful that we set aside this day of the year to focus people on your resurrection, something that we are witnesses of all the time. But this is the time in the year when people are conscious of it more than at any other time, time that they call Easter. And Lord, just pray that you would give me the words to preach, Lord. Help me to be a blessing. Help me to say those things you would have said in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, this morning I did get quite in Sunday school, pretty in depth on, blotting out the sins when the times of refreshing shall come, the times of restitution there in verse 21 of chapter 3 of Acts. We're in chapter 4 right now. Chapter 4 is an exciting chapter because verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So the teaching that there's different ways of salvation is ludicrous because, you know, when I say ways, I mean it's Jesus, it's His blood. They're not looking forward to the cross. We are looking back, but it's the blood in Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 2. It's Jesus Christ that saves. Not a man's works, not being baptized, Acts 2:38. It is the blood that saves. And verse 12 should make that very clear. Neither is there salvation in any other. So what about all these religions? Neither is there salvation in any other. So I'm closed-minded. I don't mind telling you that. I believe what I believe. I trusted Christ over 40 years ago. He changed my life, made me a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. The birds chirped sweeter. The grass was greener. The sky was bluer. And I'm joking about that. But what I'm telling you is things were different. Things were different. From somebody that cussed as bad as any show you can see on TV to where my mouth was cleaned up by the Lord. I quit smoking, quit drinking. And, you know, those are outward things, but why did I forgave people that I thought I'd never forgive? See, that's inward. I started, and this was a process, I started having peace more. To where now, I've got peace. I mean, you know, the whole, just like we were driving down the road, I told you about those two tractor trailers. I mean, I don't even know if my heart skipped a beat or raced during that time. Slammed on the brakes. I said, I can't stop. Judy, I remember, said, what's going on? I said, I can't stop. In other words, I've already gone through these things. I mean, I've gotten hit by a train on a bus that flipped over, caught fire three different times. I mean, you know, you either trust in the Lord or you don't. So what happens when I'm... Now, this is one of the ones that was more glaring because, you know, you see two tractor trailers, you know, pushing you into the median, and the median's concrete. It's not a grass median. And you've got a load on there of several tons, and you can't stop. My life didn't shine, you know, flash before me any more than it did any other time. But I don't know. I it's just in me now. I have this peace. I have this joy. Neither is there salvation in any other name. I am a living testimony to what can happen when somebody at 20 years old that's out there in the world on their own in Florida drinking ages 18. I live on Okaloosa Island and then all of a sudden, boom. Now, I had moved off the island before I actually accepted the Lord. Moved in with somebody else, somewhere else. It was worse than the situation on the island, even with a guy putting a gun to my head. Worse than that. And then one day in an apartment somewhere in this city, was ready, and they led me to the Lord. I accepted Christ, and man, I'm going to work with a Bible under my arm. Because I was different. Neither is salvation in any other. Period. Period. I say that because the Bible says it, not just because of my experience. Because my experience, I've learned. I experienced things that were not biblical. But when you go through this Bible is very clear. Jesus saves. One of you. Jesus saves.
Amen.
Okay. I just want to make sure we're all here. Y'all, man, Robert, I missed you. Quiet. There were a couple of church mice running around. And I mean, they were laughing. It was so quiet in here. You ought to listen and get engaged, because listen, it's important. You shake your head, put a smile on your face. I know some of you are like this, what's he going to say next? I hope that's what you're thinking. But I hope I don't scare you. I hope you're not always thinking, well, what's he going to, I do go off on tangents and rabbit trails, but I don't go off on wild ones, where I rebuke everybody. I am right now. Neither, verse 12, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's it. What about Buddha?
Uh-uh.
What about Muhammad? What about Allah? Neither is there salvation any other. What about the Pope?
No.
What about Mary? What about the saints? Listen, the Bible says nothing about praying to Mary. It says nothing about praying to the saints. It says nothing about, bowing down and kissing a man's ring. It says nothing about any of that. And I don't mean to be hateful. I'm just telling you. What about Joseph Smith and the Mormon church? No. What about the Jehovah's Witnesses that say, we're supposed to, serve God on Saturdays because the Old Testament, listen, Jesus was crucified. And then he was resurrected on the first day of the week, and that's why it changed. The Bible's very clear on that. You can go through all the book of Acts. You can see where that is. Now, go back to verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came unto them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Now, why were the Sadducees? Resurrection from the dead. They don't believe it. And now we're going to look at the verse. Look at Matthew chapter 22. Because I've told you that, and I don't remember whether I took you to the actual scripture, but even if I did, it is good to be reminded. Matthew 22, verse 23. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection, and asked him. And then they go into this long discourse, verse 28, therefore in the resurrection. Well, wait a minute. If you don't believe in the resurrection, why are you asking the Lord a question on the resurrection? Because they want to catch him. Verse 30, for in the resurrection, this is Jesus' answer, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He didn't say I was. He says, I am. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. Ha, I guess so, because he spoke with authority. And listen, I don't want to get up here and go, well, I think. Listen, I'm not, if I am giving you my opinion, I will try to tell you this is my opinion. If I'm not sure about something, I will try to tell you that I'm not completely sure. The Marys that we looked at this morning, I struggled with that. I left a message for a friend of mine. He called me back. He says, I think it's two different accounts of two different Marys. One of them's not named. The other one's Mary of Bethany. I went, yep. That's why I couldn't reconcile the whole thing. Because it's that way, probably. But I'm not going to be dogmatic anymore. He says, I thought it was the same Mary in all those instances we looked at this morning. Then I've gone back and said, no, it just doesn't work out because the details are the same. But you have to understand, that's the way the Bible works. You know what you do? You believe the Bible. Don't change the Bible. So that's the Sadducees. When you look at who's there, it's the high priest, it's the chief priest, it's the Sadducees. Look at Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27. I want you to pay close attention to this because it sort of is shocking because Jesus' enemies knew more than the apostles in this case. Matthew 27, Jesus has been crucified. His body is in the sepulcher. His soul has left his body. And in verse 62, it says, now the next day, if he was crucified on Wednesday, then this is Thursday. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priest. Now that's interesting. If he was crucified on Friday and the next day was Saturday, the Sabbath, I don't think they could have been doing that. So anyway, now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priest, the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, sir, we remember that deceiver, speaking of Jesus, said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure till the third day, lest his disciples come by night, steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so that the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate says unto them, ye have a watch, go your way. Now this is interesting. Make it as sure as ye can. Wait a minute. Do you know that if a prisoner gets away, like the Philippian jailer, he's going to take his own life because he thinks the prisoner's got away? But I guess there's no protocol for when a dead body gets away. You know what I mean? You're going to die if you let a prisoner get away. But wait a minute. Is a dead body really a prisoner? He says, make it as sure as you can. Wait a minute. We've got Roman guards outside. We've got a seal on there. What do you mean, make it as sure as you can? Is he wondering? Is he thinking? Is he saying, well, you make it as sure as you can because I'm not so sure this isn't going to happen. He knew he was innocent. He knew he told him the truth. He knew that everything Jesus said was true. Everything Jesus said came to pass. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. He made the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, and the blind to see. He could do anything, and they knew that. And they crucified him. But then the king says, make it as sure as you can. I'm going to go send some of my guards that is as wishy-washy as any. I just read that today and I was like, kidding. I've never seen that. That's pretty insightful. He knew something. They knew what Jesus said. Then why are Peter and the women going to anoint the body? Why are the women going to anoint the body? Why does Peter run to the sepulchre, stooping in, wondering himself that which has come to pass? Well, the Bible says it was hid from them. I get that. And their eyes weren't open until the end of Luke 24. I get that. But here is the lost people. Now, you know, I want you to get this. There are lost people that know more about what's going on than saved people. I saw a thing on COVID and it talks about snake venom, king cobra. And they said that this reaction that you have has been proven that it's more like a reaction to a snake bite than anything to do with bats. Early on, they said it was a bat, it was a snake, or it was something else. And then the whole narrative was it was a bat. Well, you know what you don't do with a snake bite? The protocol that they did early on in COVID, and that's why so many of them were dying. Do you know what the best thing that you can do with a snake bite? Monoclonal antibodies. That's what treats snake bites. Now, I just sent this a doc up in Alabama, and I said, listen, you just need to look this. I get this conspiracy stuff all the time, but I was working out, so I was doing one thing. I listened to preaching a lot of times, and I went, look, that's an hour. And one of the DEA agents up in New York that I'll see this week, he sent it to me. He sent me three, and I could only watch one. And I told him, I said, I watched it. He sent me another one later on. But, I mean, it's interesting. Here's what I'm telling you. They know more about what's going on than sometimes we do. Some of them, because it's not a conspiracy. It's a planned problem. And I don't know about COVID. I have no idea. Did it start with a bat that they were eating the bats? Well, no. Just got to be honest with you. No. There were lab people that went to the hospital before anything ever was disclosed. So come on. But you know what you know what they're going to do? They're going to lie to you and lie to you and lie to you. Here, people do. Don't let that be in your life. Now, look, you don't have to get so wrapped up in all this stuff that you spend all your time trying to figure it all out. I do very little of that. I look at it like this. If it came from a snake, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. That's it. It just doesn't change anything with me. It just shows me that, you know, we've been lied to again. But what, did that surprise me yesterday when I listened to that? No, it doesn't surprise me. That is the world. That is where we are. You remember Pearl Harbor. I was talking to Heather and she asked me about FDR and I said, well, Pearl Harbor, you know, did they let Pearl Harbor happen? And, you know, there's that conspiracy out there. The Japanese couldn't have gone all the way over here and bombed Pearl Harbor, but we wouldn't have gone into World War II without Pearl Harbor. But if we'd obliterated the Japanese, that wouldn't have been a bad move either. They still were coming in to attack us. Just wipe them out and don't let all those people get killed. So I don't know. I'm just telling you, there's a lot of that goes on. Twin Towers, did they blow them all up? It was really a missile that hit. You know, come on. I mean, you know, Sandy Hook, you know, all those children killed. It was, you know, some of these guys, they're saying it was faked. Are you insane? So what happens sometimes is you get so wrapped up in this stuff and so many things going out there that the real reality that you need to know, you lose in all the muddy water. Do I think that they blew up the Twin Towers? No, I don't know. No. Do I believe Sandy Hook was real? Yes. Do, you know, but I'm not so sure about that King Cobra and not the bat. So let's look at verse 3. Chapter 4, verse 3. Acts 4, 3. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Eventide's probably around 3 p.m. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. 5,000 men, let alone women and children. They heard the word and they believed. What saved them? They heard the word and believed. That's what saved them. Now, I've got guys that'll say, well, they're not preaching the death, burial, and resurrection. We looked at that again the other day. They sure were. Look at saved. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is that not clear? Look at chapter 2, verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. It's unusual wording, but basically they got saved, they were added to the church, and that's it. Look at chapter 4, verse 12. Well, we already looked at that. Neither is there salvation in any other. Look at chapter 15. Look at the false gospel. Chapter 15. So there's some people that say, well, it's works. And listen, some of the Jews believed you had to be circumcised to be saved because that was under the Old Testament law, that circumcision was a requirement, but it never was a requirement for salvation. Was a requirement for fellowship with God. Chapter 15, verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren, taught the Christians, taught the believers, and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Number one, they're brethren, they're already saved. So don't let anybody tell you that you've got to do this or do this or do this and then you get saved. You do one thing. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ by trusting in Him and you are saved. You are sealed. Until the day of redemption, the day of redemption is when your mortal body is redeemed at the resurrection. At the rapture. Your mortal body is changed into an immortal body for all eternity. You're caught up together within the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. When where He goes, we go. When He comes back 7 years later on a white horse, we're on horses behind Him, and we follow Him. Why? Because wherever He goes, we go. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You know what we need? We need comfort. You know what I have? I have comfort. I believe that if I were to die, I'm going to heaven. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Why? Because the Bible tells me so. I have peace in believing what the Scripture says. Everybody ought to have that peace. If you don't have that peace, it's because you choose not to. If you don't have that peace, it could be because you're not saved. And you need to make sure you get that taken care of, because if you don't, the Bible says you'll die and you'll go to hell. And that'll be by your choice. Now look at another one. Look at chapter 15, verse 11. Verse 10. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples? Talking about, okay, so who the brethren are the disciples, are also disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. They're saying, you got to be circumcised. You got to do this. You got to do this. And he's saying, look, stop putting this yoke around believers, because there's no yoke around you right now. No yoke at all. God does not yoke you up with burdens. What he says is this, trust me and be saved. Trust me and live for me. That's it. And you know that is different for every individual. What God wants you to do is not what God wants me to do, and vice versa. Up to, He wants us all to be ambassadors. There are certain generalities that are true. Look at the next verse, verse 11. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Some say, why does He say we will be saved even as they? Because He's including everybody in. He's not going, we believe you'll be saved just like us. He could have said that. But he just said it in a way that it's all inclusive. That we, Jews, are saved like the Gentiles. That the Gentiles are saved like the Jews. There's one way, one truth, one life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So don't make it something else. Neither is there salvation in any other. It's Him, Him alone. Now go back, let's continue on. Look at chapter 16. We're looking at saved, right? So here's the Philippian jailer in chapter 16. He's the guy that, you know, he's watching over all the doors are open. He's getting ready to take his life. There was this earthquake. It was midnight and none of them left. He was going to kill himself. So he comes into those guys that he had just thrown in there. He didn't care about them. And he says in verse 30, chapter 16, verse 30, and brought them out, brought Paul and Silas out, and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Great question. You know what the Bible says? Trust in the Lord. You know what an indication is that you've trusted in the Lord? You believe on Him. You repent of believing in any... You know, repentance isn't even mentioned here. But here's what I want to get you to understand. Except you repent, you shall all perish. That's what the Bible says. If you believe that it's Jesus and you must repent. If you believe it's baptism, you must repent. If you believe it's good works, you must repent. But just because... Now look, the guy comes in... He's a military man, and he falls down and he says, what must I do to be saved? He says, you look at him and you go, well, you gotta repent of believing in anything else. Well, I don't believe in anything else. I wanna know what I gotta believe in. You tell me. It's this guy, you've been singing about this Jesus, you've been praising this Jesus. I wanna know what I do to be saved. Well, you gotta repent. No! He already did. He did. You can tell by his demeanor and his actions. He's already repented. What does he say in verse 31? He says, "And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Why does it say, "and thy house"? Oh, so confusing. No, it's not. It's just prophecy. If you get saved, your family, we're gonna tell you what's gonna happen. When you get saved, Dad, your wife's gonna get saved. Your children are gonna get saved. That's why he says, "and thy house." Not that every time a dad gets saved, the whole house gets saved. That's not the way it works. It's an individual decision that everybody makes. You don't get in because somebody else got saved. But he's just prophesying. So let's just continue through and just make sure you get that. Verse 32, "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house." Why did they speak to everybody in the house? Because he knows all of them need the gospel. "And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway." Now, why were they baptized? Because they got saved. You don't get baptized unless you get saved. So how do you know they got saved? Because they got baptized. Why did they get baptized? Because they got saved. It's as simple as that. All you have to do is believe the Bible and not try to contradict it. There are these people that go in this Bible and they start saying things and seeing things that aren't there. And they go, "Well, you know, you got to get baptized for your children." Nothing like that. So look at verse 34. "And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house." So he got baptized, then he believed. You see, you got to be careful. You can't go, "Well, he didn't believe until verse 34. No, he believed with all of his house. But anytime you see baptism, there's salvation before it. You are hardly ever told, other than in Acts chapter 8 with the Ethiopian eunuch, when somebody got saved. You look at Acts 19, you look at Cornelius. Cornelius, Peter's preaching to him. He's interrupted. And then they start speaking in tongues, sign to those Jews that they've accepted the Lord. And he says, "Hey, we're going to baptize you." Why? Because they trusted him in their heart. It's not whether they said, "Well, I got to say, Jesus saved me," out loud. It's not what saves you. It's that trust, that heart. So look at Romans. We'll go one step further. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. One more passage I want to look at. And it's Romans 8. And I'm going to leave Acts, even though I don't have to. Hopefully you see. Romans 8:23. "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." So here it is. Your soul and your spirit are redeemed at salvation. Your body is waiting for the redemption. Still sinful. You got the old man, new man. Old man wants to do the things of the world. New man lives in you, wants to do right. We're waiting for the adoption and our new body. Verse 24. "For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." It's a sure hope. It's not, "Well, I hope this happens." No, it's a sure hope. In Thessalonians, Titus, what's it called? The blessed hope. What's the blessed hope? Jesus coming back. Jesus is the Savior. So going back to the book of Acts, chapter 4. And before we go much further, I didn't do this morning, and I want to do it now. I want you to think about Jesus for a minute. And just chapter 3 of Acts, and how it describes who he is. Look at verse 13. The Bible says glorified His Son, Jesus. Look at verse 14. But ye denied the Holy One. Who is that? That's His Son, Jesus. Look at 14 again. And the just. See the capital J? He's the Holy One. He's the just. Or you could say the just one, but it doesn't. It just says the just. Look at verse 15. And killed the Prince of Life. So He's also called the Prince of Life. Look at chapter 8, verse 18. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all His prophets that Christ should suffer. He's called Christ. Look at verse 20. And He shall send Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Anointed One. Jesus Christ. Look at verse 26. Unto you first, God, having raised up His Son, Jesus, sent Him to bless you and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Just look at how chapter 3 defines and describes who He is. His Son Jesus, the Holy One, the Just, the Prince of Life, Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus. So there's no wrong way. Now what I tried to do in one of my books was call Him the Lord Jesus Christ, because I like that. And the Bible describes Him as the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say Jesus? Yes. Can you say Christ? Yes. You can say the Just One, the Holy One, the Prince of Life. That's what Acts is all about. Acts is all about pointing to Him, pointing to Him. You know what your life is to be? Pointing to Him. You know what my life is? Pointing to Him. I want people to know who Jesus is. I want to be a witness for Him and a witness of His resurrection, for His resurrection, about His resurrection. I want to tell people, listen, He wasn't in that grave. His body was in the grave. His soul left Him and went into the lower parts of the earth. Hell couldn't hold Him. Paradise needed emptied out. And God the Father had promised to raise the Son, the faith of Jesus Christ. He promised to raise the Son from the dead. And He trusted in that promise. What about you? Have you ever trusted in Christ? He is the Savior. And there is no other. By the way, when I say Savior, I mean capital S-A-V-I-O-U-R. If you ever write Savior, don't write it with six letters. You write it with seven letters. S-A-V-I-O-U-R. He is our Savior. O-U-R. That's how you should do it. Because it's biblical. You know, I could get really hungry and my Savior is a piece of steak. I get really thirsty and my Savior's a Gatorade. But when you say Savior, S-A-V-I-O-U-R, boy, that tells you something. That's the Just One. That's the Prince of Life, the Holy One. The I Am of Isaac and Jacob, Abraham, all of them. The I Am, not the I Was. The beginning and the end. The Alpha and the Omega. You go through and you study who Jesus is, and it'll blow you away. Study Revelation. See how it describes who He is. What an amazing, amazing description of who He is. Going back to Acts chapter 4, says verse 5, the Sanhedrin. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or what name have ye done this? What are they asking about? Remember healing the lame man, okay? That by what power? God. What name? You told us you didn't want to hear that name anymore. It's Jesus. Look at chapter 3, verse 6. Let's just confirm that. Acts chapter 3, verse 6. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Any doubt about it? By what name? Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You guys know we didn't do it in our own power. They even said later on, "Why do you look at us as though we're special?" We're not special. Verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth," and then he points right at him and he says, "whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." They give all the glory to God. Everybody needs to understand that truth. If you ever do anything in this life, you better give glory to God. There is no self-made man. You look at somebody that says, "Well, I'm self-made. I made my millions. I did it without Jesus. I don't need Him." And there are people that will say that. You go knocking on doors and you talk to people and they'll tell you, "Look, you know, I don't need what you're offering." But you do. "I don't need this Jesus. I made my money. I look at this house. I didn't get it because of Jesus." Hey, wait till you get sick. Wait till you die. You'll find out how much you needed Him. Yeah, can a person get rich without knowing the Lord? Sure they can. Riches many times are a stumbling block. They can be something that can destroy you. Verse 11, talking about Jesus, he says, "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." And we'll maybe go into those verses later. "Neither is there salvation any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So there you go. If I was a lawyer, I would say I tried to make my case. I tried to present to you the proof and the scripture, and you know, this isn't a court of law. It's a church. So you know what I did? I just preach Jesus. That's all I want to do. I want to preach Jesus. You come to me. What authority do you have? I got Jesus. That's it. I've got His Word. And there's nothing else. I want to live according to this Word. If I don't live according to this Word, then there's a problem with me. If you don't live according to this Word, there's a problem with you. Let's all stand together. Let's pray. Lord, do thank you for your many blessings. You just ask that you guide and lead and direct during the invitation time. Lord, we love you and praise you and give you all the honor and glory for anything that's done. Lord, we are such needy people. And Lord, help us to always be faithful, to be guided by thy book, to be focused upon you leading us. And we pray this in Jesus' name with your head bowed and eyes closed. If God's led you in some way, you talk to Him.